this. The same passion a woman brings in the relationship, the same passion she's going to take out of it. And I think true, both these believe in their own truisms, that they believe that they're right in their own way, because this is a sickness, because both of these two are, they are both, neither one of them are afraid of one another. Neither one of them really truly respect one each other. So I believe that both individuals believe that their lie is true. And you know what? They believe their own lie is true. Ruben believes, hey, this girl is trying to extort me for money. The situation where she knows that she's going to get money out of this situation, so she recants her story because he's going to pay her. If you do this, I'm going to pay you. So, yeah. So he feels that he filled that void. I paid her, whatever may have happened, because I do believe, without a doubt, violence has been involved. Without a doubt, there has been abuse in this relationship. This is spousal abuse because this is his girlfriend. It's not Kareem Hunt's situation. That's not spousal abuse. That's just a crime. That is, you know, that's a crime on another person. This is spousal abuse because these people were together. And here, look at the individual. She's willing to jump on a plane, fly out to Tampa to go stay with the man when she knows he's got another girlfriend. So now she says she's going to tell. It's a sickness. She's going to tell. I'm going to tell on you because I want you. This is a merry-go-round that both of these two individuals are on. And now you're seeing the venom and the hate that she's willing to display because she wants her money. She felt that she's been there. She feels she's covered up things for him. And she thinks now it's time for me to pay. And you know what? I don't blame her. That's what she wants to do. But Ruben and this young lady, both of them are believing their own lie and their own insanity.
The Redskins are 6-6. They've lost 3 straight. They're on a third-string quarterback after their original starter, Alex Smith, was lost for the season. And then Colt McCoy this past Monday night was lost for the season. They haven't been to the playoffs since 2015. They haven't won a playoff game since 2005. Why would they want to deal with this? Why would you want this PR hit? This is only going to get worse for them. And they're not unified in the decision. Jay Gruden and a lot of the players made it clear that, like, you know, they didn't speak out against it, but they certainly didn't support it. 2 or 3 of the Alabama players on the team were asked, you know, were you consulted before Ruben Foster was brought in? Because that's what we're hearing, that because there's so many Alabama players here, this is a good environment for you. A bunch of them came out and said, no one asked me anything. Jay Gruden was, well, you know, it's a decision of the organization. And then Bruce Allen, the ultimate coward as a general manager, makes the move and refuses to talk to the media about it. They trot Doug Williams out there to say something. They put Gruden on the firing line as the head coach. They put the players on the firing line. And the GM who makes the call doesn't have the balls or the spine or the courage to at least stand up and answer questions as to why he would do it. Why would you want a human being like that running your organization? How are you qualified to run that organization if you're going to make a move like this and then run and hide from it? You're supposed to be a leader. You're supposed to be the team's general manager. You're the one in charge of this. And you let everyone else take the heat for your decision? You don't have the stones to step out there and address it? This is a mess. We sit here all the time. We talk about good teams, bad teams, what it takes to rebuild. Sometimes just don't be a complete fool and you might have a shot. This is why Washington never achieves anything, because this is what they do to themselves. They were the only team that put in the waiver claim on this guy. They never called the Tampa police to figure out what had happened. The Eagles were the only team that did that. They put in some investigative work, then didn't put in a claim. None of this. They bring the guy in and then they don't want to answer questions on it. And they wonder why they don't have success. It's not that hard to be successful. People look at success and they view it as, oh, it takes so much work and so much intelligence and so many things that have to break your way. Not really. Sometimes you just have to avoid not being a complete buffoon, like making awful decisions on a regular basis. How is this going to play out well for them? What is Roger Goodell is synonymous with domestic violence. I don't know if he's ever committed it. I'm not going to allege it or even think about it. But I know that as commissioner, this dude is linked to domestic violence every few months. And it's never good. It's never, Goodell has a zero tolerance policy for domestic violence. Jerry Jones the other day just came out as the owner of the Cowboys and said, we have a zero tolerance policy for domestic violence. This is the same guy who signed Greg Hardy a couple years ago. How do you get away with saying that? You got a commissioner who does nothing about it, and yet, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to just let this go? We're supposed to not comment on it? It's so bizarre that you continually...
It's sad to me.
That you continually find yourself in this situation. How do you not solve these problems? You can't get these guys to not commit the crime, but you can certainly handle it better than you have been.
I think it's interesting. I think it's sad. And yes, we know that both is a crime. The difference is, like I was saying, is, you know, they look at spousal abuse and they think, okay, God, it's a person and they know one another. They've been, you know, in a relationship. So we get it. We understand that both is a crime. I get that. I think it's just, it's funny and it's sad. I don't know, literally funny, because if this doesn't happen, Kareem Hunt probably has a job. This outcome.
No. If TMZ doesn't dig up the tape, Kareem Hunt has a job, which makes me wonder if the NFL swept that one under the rug, how many are out there that we don't know about?
Absolutely. There's got to be plenty out there that we don't know about, for one. But I'm saying, because of the Reuben Foster incident and because the Redskins went out and picked him up, you see all the outlash that's coming right now, all the, you know, everything that's happening now. If this didn't happen with Reuben Foster, I think that maybe Kareem would have got a job, that someone would have took a chance. But they've seen the public outcry for Reuben Foster with the Redskins. What are they doing? You see, and that's why I think the team said, we don't want that. We don't want what the Redskins are doing. So I think Kansas City did the right thing. And I think the league is, I think a lot of people are like saying, I'm not touching this right now.
The video is what hurts.
And I think that's what makes the Redskins' decision even more stupid, because the fact that the commissioner has his player parked on the inactive list. So there really is no upside to bringing in Reuben Foster, because you bring him in and he's not going to be able to play until, what Joe talked about, Goodell, until he actually decides to do something. And when he does decide to do something, it's probably going to be a 6-game suspension. So you're not going to be able to play him anyway. So what is the benefit of bringing in Reuben Foster? Is it because you're that sold on his future upside as a player? And I think there is some merit to what you're saying about Kareem Hunt. Maybe the video doesn't get leaked, or however TMZ acquired it, if the Reuben Foster thing doesn't happen. But to Joe's point, how many more of these are out there where the league has just decided, as they did in the Kareem Hunt case, there's nothing here, there's nothing to it?
Why do you think the league cared so much about taking down Brady? We talked about the $25 million on Deflategate. They had a 139-page report that was filed. They had 66 witnesses set to testify. They put a lot into that to try to determine whether or not a quarterback who otherwise doesn't really get in trouble, he doesn't do anything, he's the kind of the face of your league, you went after him to try to prove that he may or may not have deflated some air from footballs. Yet with this stuff, it's always about the cover-up. I mean, is it good for the NFL to be in the headlines for domestic violence? Because if it's bad, you would figure they would try to clean it up, right? It's considered bad for the league if teams aren't scoring a lot of points. That's what we've seen. The league does better if there are a lot of points. That's what people want. So what do? They change the rules in order to facilitate more scoring. Ratings go up. People are excited. Colin Kaepernick comes along. He takes a knee during the anthem, starts a movement. Anheuser-Busch, several sponsors call up and say, this is not good for our bottom line. You better clean this mess up or we're going to pull our money. So the NFL sees this as a problem. They make changes. They keep Colin Kaepernick out of the league. They tell other guys that, you know, suspensions could be coming. It was a complete mess of a scenario for that.
Money.
This situation is a black eye on a routine basis, and yet they never do anything about it. They had the evidence, and they just kind of sweat. They told the Chiefs to stop the investigation in Kareem Hunt's case. In Foster's case, it'd be real easy to just kind of tell everyone, don't sign the guy. Let's keep him out of the league.
Exactly.
They don't do anything.
No, and I think part of it is because of the collective bargaining agreement, and the players have certain rights under the CBA to where the league can't just unilaterally say, you can't sign this guy. If a team wants to sign him, the commissioner can park him on the exempt list, and he can do what he wants to do. But to your point and what Lowe said about money, that's exactly the case with this here. Domestic violence, as long as you give off the appearance that you're stepping in and punishing players, the league ultimately doesn't care really about its players' behavior until there's video proof that forces them to act.
That's why, you know, this, we're talking about crimes against another individual, whether it's women, female, doesn't matter. It's still a crime. And we understand Kareem Hunt, Reuben Foster, it's a crime. But yet and still, we've seen Hardy, all those different guys. We know that these crimes are committed, not just badly, by just, it's horrible that this crime is committed every 10 seconds. There's a crime against a woman. So we understand that. And it's not right. But yet and still, we still see these guys get jobs, and everyone wants to sit here. And that's the thing to me, it's absurd. You had a guy have a peaceful protest, that and it was a narrative because of racism and because the perception, I'm going to demonize this, and I'm going to make this strictly about the military when he had nothing to do with the military. But all of a sudden, people are able to spin and demonize what they want and focus on something that was being taken completely out of control, out of content, and they demonized the individual and said, oh, he can't play, all these things, a horrible person, all these different things, when it had nothing to do at all with the military, but everyone circled the wagons to make it seem as if this guy was trying to be an anti-American. And that was the furthest thing from it, what he was trying to do. But it's interesting to see how willing and people willing to forgive the guys like Reuben Foster, you know, the different guys, Alden Smith, how people willing to give these guys second chance. But here's a guy standing for something peaceful and can't get a shot.
All right, good stuff there. Strong stuff. Greg Papa will join us at 8:30. We've got a big hour coming up. Number one, a chance to win a trip to Hawaii. Number two, how blackjack is being banned from Major League Baseball. Not exactly, but it's an interesting analogy, at least in my mind. And number three, Kevin Durant's comments about LeBron James. That is the juicy story we're going to get into next here on 95.7 The Game.
Last time they met, it wasn't pretty for the Warriors.
Antetokounmpo just barrels over Looney and dunked it with a right hand. Ran him over.
Now, the Dubs are out for revenge.
Throws outside to Iguodala.
Warriors.
Curry gets it back right side.
Box.
Quick release and a splash for Curry.
Coverage starts tomorrow at 5. Tip off at 6:30. Only on 95.7. The Game. Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Her best video by a mile. It's not even close. The Toxic video is the best of all the Britney Spears videos. Best of all the Britney Spears songs as well. Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. Welcome to The Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our sensual listening audience, because we love you and because there are a half a dozen items we need to check off in the next hour or so. Let's begin with Hawaii. How does that sound, everybody?
Oh, it's awesome. Hawaii, definitely not toxic. Hawaii is far from toxic as you could possibly be, especially this time of year.
What's the opposite of toxic? Untoxic, intoxic, non-toxic? Non-toxic.
Right? Non-toxic.
Really get through the whole thing there. Hawaii's non-toxic.
Yeah.
That could be their new slogan. Aloha, welcome to Hawaii. We're non-toxic.
It works for me.
Works for me.
That'll sell you on a vacation. You just need to know a place is non-toxic.
Absolutely.
So really, the only thing you're knocking off is Chernobyl and
Three Mile Island.
What is it, Fukushima?
Sure.
They're still leaking into the ocean. And Three Mile Island, shout out Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Not far from where I grew
didn't know
up,
that.
Which may explain a few things. I think Cody actually grew up closer to that than I did.
No wonder.
All right.
Funny joke.
It is time for the 95.7 The Game and Alaska Airlines Hawaii for the Holidays Flyaway Contest. We're sending one listener and three guests on a dream vacation this holiday season, courtesy of our good friends and the good people at Alaska Airlines, who have nonstop flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii, the non-toxic Hawaii. If you haven't already, register now for your chance to qualify at 957thegame.com. Here's how it works. Every day this week, every day next week, at 7:20 a.m., we announce a name. That name has 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call us back on the contest line. If the name does so, boom, they qualify for the trip. If they don't, we call another name. If that name doesn't call back, we move on. So far, we only have one in 3 days. So your odds are getting better and better by the moment. Drum roll, please, Dibs.
Without a doubt.
Aaron Stewart from Oakland.
Aaron Stewart from Oakland,
you have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call the contest line at 415-402-6865. That number again is 415-402-6865. If you don't call us back, we're going to pick another name in 10, 15 minutes or so, and we will announce that. So if you know Aaron Stewart from Oakland, hit him up now. Phone, landline, email, AOL Instant Messenger, Western Union,
Carrier Pigeon.
Exactly. I don't know if that'll all get done in 9 minutes and 57 seconds, but hit him up because if he qualifies and then goes on to win this thing, you may be one of the three guests he invites. Contest line again for Aaron Stewart from Oakland, 415-402-6865. I want to get to the Warriors and Kevin Durant's comments on LeBron James in just a moment, but indulge me for a second. Jason Stark of The Athletic with a story that Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball are getting closer and closer to banning the defensive shift, something that came into the sport in the last 10 years. Pittsburgh Pirates were one of the teams to start it. You've seen it. First base, second base, shortstop, third, suddenly not in their normal alignment. Players shifted over because left-handed bats have a tendency of yanking the ball down the right field line. So rather than line up with a traditional defensive set, you're going to move the second baseman closer to first, the shortstop closer to second base, the third baseman closer to short, maybe even second. There are different varieties of this, but basically the analytics pointed to the fact that if you lined up differently, if you actually tried something different than what you had been doing on a routine basis for 100 or more years, that maybe you would be in a better position to get an out. And lo and behold, over the last few years, the data indicates that the shift is working. Here's the problem. It's working so well that run scoring is down. It also takes time to create the shift. Teams need to signal into one another. And Major League Baseball doesn't like the fact that they're scoring fewer runs and that it's also taking longer to get through the game. So they're thinking about coming up ways of either banning the shift or limiting how many times you can do it in a game. I'm struggling with where I land on this because, number one, when it comes to business, give the people what they want. And if people want scoring, like they do in the NBA, like they do in the NFL, create a way in which you can facilitate more scoring. The three-point shot, more ticky-tack fouls so that guys can get free. In football, defenders can barely do anything. So on one hand, baseball is listening to the audience, and they're saying to themselves, we've got to get rid of this so we can give them more excitement, more scoring, faster-paced game. On the other hand, do we really want to be a society that stifles creativity and innovation? Remember, baseball ushered in the analytics movement for all sports. Everyone's doing it now. Everyone's looking for new and more creative ways to improve their process. They're looking at new statistics. They're using different algorithms. They have different ways of evaluating and determining what is and is not efficient. I think that runs counter to who we are as a society. If you want to ban the shift, you're essentially saying, you know what, this creativity, the fact that you found a loophole, a way to improve yourself, a way to gain an edge, we're going to shut it down. This is the same thing as card counting in blackjack. Card counting is not illegal, but as Alan from The Hangover would say, it's frowned upon.
Yes.
It's actually banned in casinos. What will happen is if the casino determines that you are counting cards, they'll come up to you and they have a very, very smooth way of doing this. Very quietly to the side, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am. We hate to say this to you. We hate to do this, but you're too good for us. We're not going to be able to take your action anymore. You are just too good for us. What that's basically saying is you have tipped the odds in your favor by counting cards. We've caught you doing it. We're not going to arrest you or drag you into a back alley lot because we don't do that anymore. That's the mob days of Vegas. We're just going to ban you from playing. And that's it. You can no longer play. Sportsbooks in New Jersey have been doing this. They find out very quickly who the sharp guys are, and they won't take their bets anymore. It's all about just bringing the squares and the fish in to donk their money off to you. When they find the individuals who are smart enough, creative enough, innovative enough to just simply apply math to the equation so that they gain an edge over you, they no longer want your business. That's what I think this is. The defensive shift is card counting. They have found a way to gain an edge, and yet Major League Baseball doesn't like it. So I'm torn because on one hand, trying to raise two young sons, I want them to be creative. I want them to be curious. I want them to ask questions. I want them to be innovative. I don't want them to stare at their phone walking down the street like every other sheep out there. Be different. Ask questions. Try to be better. Be curious. I think that's the most important thing we can instill in the youth. Curiosity, right? Don't just go along with everything that's in front of you. That's part of the problem we see with the internet now is that everyone will accept everything for what it is. You won't even check the source if it's legitimate or not. Someone says something and, oh, that must be true.
I saw it on Facebook, Joe. That's enough for me.
It was in my Facebook feed. Or someone with a blue check mark, which isn't even actually a blue check mark. It's just at the end of their name said this, so it must be true. It's not true. People can say anything they want. Put a little effort into it. So that's where I'm stuck. Listen to the customer, and if the customer wants more scoring, I get it. But then at the same time, stifling the creativity, stifling the imagination, the innovation that goes in to trying to find ways to improve the product, to improve your chances of winning, I'm against that. So I don't know. I'm playing the fence here, but that's where I stand.
No, it's a good case, and you laid it out, I think, accurately on both sides. For me, the idea of banning the shift runs anathema or counter to everything that baseball is. Baseball's the pitcher versus the batter, and then nine fielders trying to get you out. There's a reason why the base has been the same distance from home plate ever since the game was founded. It's because it's perfect. A ground ball to short and a close play at first is exactly the same in 2018 as it was in 1918. Guys run faster now. They throw harder, but it's still a bang-bang play at first. You don't need to change the things about baseball that make it so unique. And part of that is the idea of that innovation. And here's an idea for baseball teams. When you see three guys on the right side of the field, maybe choke up and try to slap the ball the other way or bunt the ball the other way. Make them stop shifting on you. If you're such a one-dimensional hitter that you pull the ball 72% of the time, then that's on you as a hitter.
Be better.
Yes.
Develop your game to beat them. Isn't that what this is all about?
And there are other ways, I think, that you can make it so offense returns to the game. One easy fix would be prevent pitchers from balking every time they want to throw to first. Now, the lefty who steps almost to home and still goes to first, that's a balk. So as soon as you make pitchers have to have an actual move to first, you'll get more base stealing in, you'll get more runners in scoring position. Additionally, you can make the strike zone so that it's actually enforced accurately. You don't give 3 inches off the corner on the outside anymore. And if that means robotic umps, then so be it. There are other ways to make offense return to baseball without banning the shift.
I think that I really believe like with the shift, it should be banned in high school, grade school, and college because it's not the pros. But once you get in the pros, you should be able to shift. Why? Because it's the pros. Just like NFL, you see college rules is different. Some rules are different than the NFL because now you're not in college. Now you're not in high school. You're in the pros.
The down by contact would be probably the most significant one.
Absolutely.
That's different in the pros than it is at the other levels.
Absolutely. And still, I think the kickoff now, you still get the run and kickoffs for college still. They don't line up right on the line like in the pros. But I think that it's better that way. And now if you get guys to adapt as far as being pro athletes, go out there and learn how to hit to, you know, be able to pull the ball to the away where they're shifting from, like you alluded to, Dan. So I think there's nothing wrong with the shift. It's interesting that now because they want people to, they want to score and they want the flash, that you would change the game back. No, guys need to adapt their game. That's why you're in the pros.
Lay down the bunt. Just lay down a bunt to the third base line and casually make your way to first base, and they'll think twice about shifting on you next time. Tom in Lafayette. We didn't even throw out the number, and we're already getting calls. Tom in Lafayette, welcome to the show. The floor is yours. Fire away.
Morning, boys. I would not allow infielders to play in the outfield. So there used to be three outfielders, period. You know, the infielders can play wherever they want in the infield. They cannot play in the outfield. Because I feel that if a guy pulls the ball and hits a nice line drive to right for a single, your second baseman should not be there just to throw him out. That's not right. So I believe that infielders should play wherever they want, have the hitters adjust, but the infielders do not play in the outfield.
All right, not bad. I appreciate that. You can still move guys over,
yeah,
but you can't move all the way back in the shallow right field. I see that. I hate the idea of stifling any of it. The assumption here is that if you don't want people shifting, what we want is for left field to line up in the exact same spot, shortstop to line up in the exact same spot every single time, like they've done for more than 100 years. The assumption there is that it was so perfect 100 years ago that it can't possibly be improved upon. Distance of bases, Dibbs, you're right. You brought that up earlier. I find it hard to believe that back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, we really knocked it out of the park with baseball and got everything right. We didn't get anything right. We got things right, and then as a society, we continued to build, think, improve, tweak, and eventually get to a certain set. We're pushing each other. Society continues to push itself to improve its product, to improve its way of living, to improve its standard of living. And we're not perfect, but I mean, the idea that if a guy shifts, that's it. Batters come out. This is unbelievable. You got to get rid of this. Improve your game. Why don't you counter that? And then they'll have to think twice. Be better. And once you're better, they'll have to find a new way to get you out. That's what we're seeing in the NFL right now. Everyone just ran the ball off tackle for 50 years. And then all of a sudden, here comes Bill Walsh throwing the ball down the field. Here comes Al Davis throwing the ball deep down the field. And the NFL gets better. Push yourself to a point where maybe, just maybe, you will find something that's even more exciting and more incredible. Case in point, Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. We were talking about three-point shooters and the record for three-point percentage back in the day. Steve Kerr averaged, what, 2 attempts a game?
Exactly.
And shot 50%, and that's a record? 2 a game? Steph did that last night in less than a minute.
That's 2 trips down the floor.
Right.
It's, you know, for Steph Curry to have 2 threes be jacked up. And you mentioned football, Joe, and we're seeing it now with the zone read and what Lamar Jackson's doing in Baltimore. The idea of a quarterback like that in all the jet sweep motion, none of that stuff was in play. You had guys go in motion before, and you would never think about handing it to the guy while he's in motion, let alone full speed motion, and the defenses adjust. And once they do, and they stop that, like they stop the Wildcat eventually, once they do that, then the offenses will come up with a new innovation.
My other question is, how are they actually going to reinforce this rule? Are you going to sit there and say, okay, the infielder can only be this far off from the base? Because you're also adjusting, basically, if you have somebody on base or not. So that, to me, it just seems like just really unnecessary, and I think it's going to cause more problems in the long run than really help.
Baseball is so hell-bent on making all these changes, but they're also at war with themselves over keeping the game pure and the way it used to be. Just relax. I like the fact that I can carry my phone in my pocket, right? I like the fact that I don't have to run to a payphone because my beeper sent me some code and I got to throw 25 cents or whatever it is now to pick up some germ-infested device to call someone back to find out dinner's at 6:30. I'm not interested in that. I like the fact that I can fly from here to the East Coast rather than getting a covered wagon, take 3 months and pick up dysentery. I like innovation. Not all innovation is great innovation, but the bottom line is this is what life is about. It's about building, growing. Sometimes we'll come up with new things. Remember the Wildcat? Ooh. And then it got shut down and that's the end of the Wildcat.
Yeah.
Fine. We tried it. It was kind of fun. Was it Ronnie Hillman?
Ronnie Brown, I believe.
Sound right. Ronnie Brown.
Ronnie Brown ran
Cadillac
it.
Williams.
Yep.
Who else was at Auburn? That was a great team. I think they had 4 first-rounders. Jason Campbell was the quarterback, and they had a corner. I want to say Parrish Cox, but I think he was Oklahoma State. I'm really off base here. But that was a good Auburn team. But those guys came out. Carlos Rogers, very good. Thank you very much. Call your producer.
Thank you, Joel.
The idea that that was something new that people tried.
Dolphins,
it worked for a minute.
Yeah, the
and then everyone
tried
adjusted.
It in NFL.
Right now, the NFL's awesome watching the Chiefs play, watching the Chargers play, and the Saints play, and the Rams play. But eventually it's going to catch up, and then we're going to need the next level of innovation. That's what keeps people interested is change. Progression. If you do the same thing over and over again, people will eventually get boring. Hello, MySpace. How's that working out? Tom made $500 million on it, but I don't even know if that thing still exists.
Even hello, Facebook. We're seeing the beginning of the end for Facebook as far as its widespread popularity. Users are down, and the next social network or whatever it is going to pop up, and it's going to make Facebook look like MySpace. And you're right, Joe. It's the nature of humanity. We're always striving to be better. So to have a sport that is trying to make us go backward doesn't make sense.
But I think that certain things, like you alluded to, Dibs, like the first base and the pitching, from pitching to home base, it's going to be always the 90 feet, the 60 feet, whatever it may be. Those are things that are going to always be unmutable. Those are the things that you're going to have. I think when you have certain things, the MySpace, certain things are trendy. You know, Facebook is not. It's a staple. It's here to stay. Certain things in baseball, football, you're always going to have 11 on 11. You're always going to have a center. You're going to have a quarter. Certain things are going to be the glue of baseball. We get that. And these other things, is the shift a trend? Is this that? So I think that you're always going to have different things trend, like you're talking about the Wildcat, different things in NFL, basketball, the three-point line. Are they going to eventually move it back? Probably so, because the three-point ball is becoming, everyone's saying, okay, it need to move the line back. They're talking about that. Why? Because they constantly want to push guys for perfection. So I think that you're always going to have these sports, the big three, and I think the basics of them always will be there, but they'll always be like a one-off.
It's interesting you say that, though, because they're talking about widening the court in the NBA because the corner three can't go any further back. The corner three right now is like a size 16 shoe away from the sideline. So if you want a longer three, you got to widen the court. And I think in baseball, we're going to get to a point here, and that's really the best way to get more scoring in baseball. It's don't let these teams have 8 and 9 pitchers in one singular game. If you want to really get scoring in, you're not going to have all this bullpenning and all these fresh arms. But I think what you'll see in baseball is either a lowering of the mound or, God forbid, moving the mound back a couple of feet, because every team now has at least one guy who throws 100.
If you want more scoring in baseball, let them take steroids. Just let them do it. Why is it that in football we try to cover up all this domestic violence? The NFL doesn't actually care. Let them stop telling me any of this is about the kids. That whole argument that all of this is about setting an example and it's for the children, it's not. No one's trying to do any of that. When these guys go out and they do their charitable work and they actually get their hands dirty working with the kids, Steph Curry sending that letter back to the girl who wrote him, a couple weeks ago about how they didn't make any of his shoes in girl sizes. That's the outreach program. These guys can handle that individually. The leagues, they donate money, they do all this stuff. But by and large, you can't tell me it's about the kids when time and time again, all this stuff takes place and no one does anything about it. The domestic violence thing in the NFL, don't tell me it's about the kids. Baseball, don't tell me it's about the kids. You want runs? Let the guys take whatever they want, right? Just find a way to have rules, but don't necessarily enforce them or kind of leak the information about when the testing is going to happen. That way you can have your cake and eat it too. You can tell everyone you have a policy in place and that You know, we're very stringent. Go out there and speak out one side of your mouth and then act differently. You want runs? That's how you get runs. Or bring in the fences. Either way, people like the long ball. Adjusting the shift, why? Someone came up with something creative to play better defense. The innovation of the 3-4 defense. What do you want to do? Take blitzing out of football? Look, no more going after the quarterback. You can only rush three. That's called the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
No one wants to watch
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
No one wants to watch
the Pro Bowl.
Exactly.
I was thinking that same thing, though, Joe, when you talk about like the innovations in football. No more, you know, you can only rush five guys, and that's it in football because we don't want the quarterback to get hurt. We want more points.
Offenses would kill you. If you take that out of the game, the quarterback has so much less he has to dissect at the line of scrimmage. Part of the beauty of defense is disguising their coverages and their blitzes. You don't know where it's coming from. This is why veterans like Phillip Rivers consistently take the play clock down to 3 and 2 seconds. Everyone always assumes Rivers is just not paying attention. He is. He's trying to draw you out. He's waiting for you to show your hand, and then he's snapping the ball. He gets caught time and time again, but there's a reason the dude's completing over 70% of his passes, because he's figured you out. Right. He's smart. He's taking advantage of the system. That's what baseball is doing here with the shift. There's a balance here in which you've got to pay homage to tradition, and you have to respect tradition, because without all that, we lose our identity. We forget where we came from. But you also have to embrace innovation and creativity. Baseball is the one sport that is so stuck in the middle on all of this. They consistently fumble over their feet. They want to innovate, but at the same time, they want to be traditional. Just stop thinking so much. Stop overthinking everything. You know, you just had a pretty good playoff run. 2 years ago, you had an awesome playoff run. People like your product. Granted, it's more localized than national, but maybe that's just who you are right now. I have a theory that in 10 to 20 years, when people start to realize how badly they're addicted to their phones, their apps, the internet, there's going to be a movement towards slowing people's life down. There already is the slow movement out there for those who have any interest in that. It started with food in Italy. I'm not going to dive into all that now, but eventually people are going to want to slow their lives down and they're going to want to live more in the moment. You see this with mindfulness and meditation now. That's where I think baseball is going to have its resurgence. I think baseball is going to be able to capitalize on, hey, come on out to the park, sit in the sunshine, have a beer, have a dog, watch a game for 3.5 hours. You know, take your time and enjoy. It's not the end of the world. It's not live or die fighting tooth and nail for 60 minutes like football.
I think the sport that's more progressive and forward thinks more than any sport has to be the NBA. You watch their commercials now. They even encouraging gambling, but saying, but don't gamble too much. Don't spend what you want. Well, I watched the commercials last night.
Everything in moderation.
Everything in moderation. They're already sending those subliminal messages. They're already doing certain things as forward thinking. They're embracing something that everyone used to call taboo and demonized. Make sure you're gambling at the right site. Make sure you understand what you're doing. They're forward thinking. I think baseball and you look at the NCAA. I think they kind of remind me of the same. You got these. It's good old boy that's trying to control something that needs to be changed. And now you're starting to see. You look at college, talking about should they pay athletes, all the different things. You got a multi-billion-dollar industry, all these money, and you have good old boys that are saying we're holding it. We're not giving them scholars. We're not going to pay. We're not going to do all these things. And you have baseball that's trying to hold on to this is a favorite pastime. I think that, you know, you can't flip the bat. All those different things that these rules.
Yeah, don't flip the bat.
Yeah.
Because only everybody likes that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's just that, no, this is the way the game needs to be. So I think that's where they're missing it.
Let's open it up to the people before we jump into the KD LeBron conversation. John and Martinez. John, what's up? Floor is yours. Fire away.
Hey, guys. I'm not a much of a baseball historian, but I'm wondering if any of you know the etymology of the word shortstop. Didn't they used to play in short center field about 100 years ago? And nobody seemed to have a problem when that changed. I'm curious if any of this stuff that they're discussing has any sort of historical background in that.
Interesting. Dibs, you were around back then.
Well, John,
how did Abner Doubleday play it?
John, I appreciate you calling and you come in using your big words like etymology, but do me a favor, watch your mouth and focus on the sale, yeah, as we like to say on this program.
John, this show doesn't deal in facts and well-researched opinions and history. We kind of just throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and see who calls.
And yes, my uncle was classmates with Abner Doubleday, and so I do know the Doubleday family very well, but I don't know if the history of the word shortstop comes from that, but he is right. The shift has always happened in some ways, whether it's the shortstop playing deep or the second baseman shading over. It's called baseball just now because the brainiacs and the bean counters are telling you with fact, absolute fact, that this is where the guy's going to hit the ball. Now we're threatened by it. Back in the day, it was Earl Weaver's instincts. But now, because it's not baseball guys, it's these brainiac bean counters who are telling you 57% of the time he pulls the ball to the left side, so we're going to move over there. Now they're threatened by it.
People are so threatened, that's a great word, by the word analytics. They're threatened by the word analytics. Let me clear it up for you. It's really just additional information. That's it. You're just presenting additional information. Now, what you choose to do with that information is up to you, but analytics doesn't need to be scary. It doesn't need to be intimidating. It doesn't need to be controversial. At its very core, it's just additional information. And if you want to use that additional information in how you go about operating your business, great. If you don't, also great. There are no laws forcing you into either of that. Why there's so much resistance to an analytical movement is beyond me. People fear what they don't understand, and I think that's by and large what this is. They don't understand analytics because the terminology and the going 10 points past the decimal point is so intimidating. It's really just additional information.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I want to buy a car. What does it cost? What kind of mileage does it get? What kind of warranty? You know, how much space? That's additional information. If you really only tell me the car was manufactured here and that's the only piece of information I get, I'm going to be a little bit weary. But if you give me 35 additional pieces of information, analytics, like, you know, miles per gallon, MPG, maybe I can make a more informed decision.
It's the math, I think. The math is what scares people sometimes. I think about it in terms of a restaurant. If the restaurant manager, the owner's like, you know what? I think a lot of people eat veal parmigiana, but I'm not gonna run through my tickets and see just what percentage of our meals are veal parmigiana. I'm just gonna play it by my feel. Wouldn't you like to have that additional piece of information to know exactly what meals are purchased at what time of the year, at what meals, at what times of day? That would obviously be something that would help your business. And I think it's the same way with baseball.
Are you adding the end to Parmesan? Is it veal Parmigiana? Is that what you're saying?
Depends where you're from. I think when you speak of the Italian cuisine, which you had previously, when you were talking about slow eating, slow food,
yeah,
it's veal Parmesan. It's everything has the A on it. So
you're adding the A. So it's not Parmesan.
It depends where you're from. Yeah, it depends on how you say it.
Italy versus what? America?
Yes, the Americanization of it, you would drop the A.
The ruinization of it is the way I'd say it.
Yeah, although my mom made a great veal parm back when I was eating veal.
Now you're just dropping half the word. That's just apathy.
It's just slang.
Apathy.
Not quite. It's apathy. Yeah, exactly. It's just slang.
If you want to jump in but you can't call us right now, hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. We're going to take a few more calls in a moment. We're also going to bring the KD LeBron James conversation into the fold. But. Aaron Stewart from Oakland did not call. Aaron Stewart from Oakland did not call. So we will throw out another name for a chance to win a trip to Hawaii. This name is, as I draw it out, so you can drum roll. AJ Fernandez from Danville. AJ Fernandez from Danville. You have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call the contest line at 415-402-6865. AJ Fernandez from Danville. Call the contest line in the next 9 minutes and 57 seconds to qualify. The number is 415-402-6865. Ban the shift, limit the shift, embrace the shift. Art, Walnut Creek. Art, thanks for the phone call. What's going on?
Don't adjust the shift, adjust your game. If I'm playing basketball, you know, and I'm driving with my right hand, and they cut that off, they give me that whole left lane, I'm going to take them left, and I'm going to make them pay. If they're paying you $1 million, to make the other team pay. So make them pay. As a culture overall, and just like over, as a culture, and we're just limited to sports, that's what we do, we talk about sports, it's soft. People are getting like progressively soft, and it's disgusting. You know, I understand that people are sensitive, I mean, but we've got to toughen up, people. We've got to toughen up.
All right, appreciate the phone call.
But Art, it's not fair that they have three guys on that side of the field when that's the side I want to hit to. You know, he is right, though, about
like the idea of and this
it's
is
not
kind
fair.
Of, yeah, this is kind of where we're at. I don't like what you're doing because it's limiting my success. So I want you to change rather than I put in the work to improve. Like, that's where we are.
Right.
It's so disappointing. You think Michael Jordan would have just that would have been it? Nah, I don't know. It's the Pistons are too tough. Craig Elo, great player. That's it.
Game.
I'm going to go play baseball. he actually did do that. But bottom line, that was for a different reason. The reality of the situation is instead of coming up to the plate, seeing the shift and going, man, we got to get rid of this. This is unfair. Get better.
Right.
Push yourself. You're supposed to be a competitor, right? And last I checked, you're probably pretty well compensated. So I don't think it's that far outside of the realm of possibility for the team to expect you to try to improve your game.
Yeah, and that's what I want to go back when you guys are talking about the analytics. I think it's got to be balanced when you're talking about analytics. I think that people look at it and some individuals look at it, talk to some scouts and talk to them. And they're like, I said, what is the biggest deal about analytics? And a lot of them believe they like analytics. They understand it's sophisticated scouting. And some believe that, okay, analytics doesn't necessarily measure the heart. But at the same sense, that's when the heart, like when a guy who's scouting got to understand, here's why I do these numbers. Here's why we do have to look into analytics. Here's how we look at scouting. When you know a tendency, what a guy's doing, we get a scouting report every Friday, every Monday when you were playing in NFL, or they still do it. They talk about tendencies, what's the percentage that they're running this side of the ball. Analytics are just deeper. And I thought you saw, even with the World Series this year, you saw a team in L.A., the Dodgers, that used analytics. And I don't think it necessarily helped them because they said, okay, we're going to put our big bats because they were going against a lefty. And they said they didn't want to use them for those two games. Because now that's when you have to understand, okay, now during the regular season, no, I'm not going to – I know the analytics, the numbers show that you don't put lefties and this is what you don't do because that's the norm. But then when it's playoffs, now I got to look at the heart. I got to understand, how do I put that balance in those two games? They didn't go with it, they lose. Then they put them in, they win the third game. So you have to understand how to balance. And I think a lot of managers and a lot of people from the old school don't welcome it, but they got to understand. And then the new school with analytics have to be able to say, okay, how do we make this balance work? And I think that's the biggest deal, I think, between old school and new school, that they just don't understand the balance, how they make them work.
Be open-minded.
Absolutely.
And be willing to listen. These are things that they sound so easy to say, but to put it into actual practice is so rare in this day and age. Everyone's waiting for their turn to talk. I'm as guilty of this as anyone. Trying to get better at that stuff. Trying to get better at listening, taking a second, thinking about the information, and then having a response. And rather than a retort or a counter argument, maybe just a response. The lost art of conversation, the lost art of discussion. Now it's a screaming match everywhere you look. You put on TV, a host brings in two people who scream at each other, and then they go to commercial. All right, that can rate. People can identify with that and enjoy it. But then at the same time, let's also present something else. Let's bring another option. The idea of analytics. You're right. Here it is. It's some information for you. If Absolutely. You want to open your mind up and think maybe this could help, great. If you don't, that's okay. But you don't be upset if you get lost in the past. If the game passes you by, case in point, the NBA teams that are still trying to get it. Carmelo Anthony is a perfect example. Rather than even use a team, look at Carmelo Anthony. He was who he was. The three-point shot developed. Carmelo became a dinosaur because he loves taking a two-point shot 1 foot short of where you would get an extra point. It just doesn't make sense. And oh, by the way, he's without work right now. Someone that people say is a top 100 player all time, Hall of Famer, most decorated U.S. men's Olympian basketball player of all time, can't find a job. Can't find a job in an NBA where there are, I don't want to be mean, but you know. There are
a number of teams who could use a player of his caliber.
Yeah, there are a few teams. A team like Atlanta could probably bring him in. A team like the Cavs could probably bring in Carmelo Anthony.
Old Orlando, who we love to pick on this program.
I got to back up off that. I've really been aggressive towards Orlando for the last 2 years.
Yeah, they're going to have to show us, Joe, to get them off of our list. But you're right in low what you say about analytics in a proper place. I'm interested to see what Farhan Zaidi does with his giant team because he's combining his new school analytics with some old school scouts, Dick Tidrow and Brian Sabian, who remains with the organization. So
balance.
Can he use his analytical skills matched up with the scout's eye in order to turn this thing around?
1 year remaining on the contract with $14 million on it. Who am I talking about?
I'll say it. He's a horse.
Yeah, that's it. Bolt.
Bumgarner.
I'm not talking about Bumgarner. He's $12 million.
Ah, darn it.
But I'm glad you said that because that's exactly what I was hoping to get to. 1 year, $14 million left on his contract is actually Paul Goldschmidt, who the Arizona Diamondbacks traded to the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday. Interesting. Goldschmidt is a couple of years older than Mad Bum, has 1 year left on his deal like Mad Bum, set to make $14 million. Mad Bum set to make $12 million. Both very team-friendly deals given what these two have produced and still have left in the tank. Oh, by the way, Arizona in return got catcher Carson Kelly, who is an MLB-ready prospect at catcher. 131 MLB at-bats. That's the crown jewel that's coming back. They got a back-end starter in Luke Weaver, whose fastball sits 92 to 95. Some view him as a back-end starter or a multi-inning reliever, but he's going to be major league ready soon. And then infielder Andy Young plays a lot of second base, 34th round pick in 2016, but has a very high contact rate. In addition, they also got another draft pick that gives them, right now they went into this, four picks in the first 75 to 80 selections in next year's draft for Arizona. They're going to get another one in that range because of Patrick Corbin going to Washington. They could get another one when A.J. Pollock ends up signing. And they got another competitive balance B-round pick from St. Louis in that Goldschmidt trade that's going to take place between rounds two and three. The reality is they got three MLB players, one of which who could be a star. They got another pick. They're loaded with picks. They're ready to rebuild. If you're Zaidi and the Giants, and you've got 1 year, $12 million left on Mad Bum, and you just saw what Arizona got for Goldschmidt, 1 year, $14 million left, and Goldschmidt's a couple years older, you got to be licking your chops, right? I mean, that's the type of move that can jumpstart the rebuild, is it not?
Yes, and that's the kind of package or package that you would hope to get back. And certainly, you're a team that knows draft-wise, you're going to have a lot of high picks because you've had another struggle last year, so you're going to be picking high in every round. If you can get picks, and also, like you said, ready-made major league players, and it looks like they have two for sure and maybe a third to come up in a couple of years, for Arizona to trade one of the great sluggers in the game, you would hope to get that package back. And I think with Bumgarner, you should be able to command that same package.
That's a good package. That's a big
package.
Yeah.
If you will.
Yeah.
Package A.
It's going to be interesting now because now we get to see what kind of magic he can really work. Because now you pick up the phone, you can get some suitors and say, look, this is what they got. I want a little bit more than that. Our team's going to look at this and say,
that's a good point. Who's worth more, Bumgarner or Goldschmidt?
I think Madison.
Well, I think it's also interesting the way that the market has gone because you had Corbin move and you had Paxton move from Seattle. So at what point does Bumgarner's value go up?
What time to dry up?
Or does it dry up? Which way does it go here as the winter meetings approach this weekend?
And that's why I was saying now we get to see what kind of magic he can work because of the fact now teams can say, you know what? Shoot, they gave up too much. We're not as desperate. So did that window close before Han? Was he not aggressive enough? For Madison, only time will tell.
Good uptick.
That's pretty
solid. Great way to finish it.
Didn't see that coming. Really didn't see that coming.
I know you didn't.
Joe Lo and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. Shout out AJ Fernandez from Danville.
AJ.
He called us back. AJ Fernandez from Danville should take Aaron Stewart from Oakland to Hawaii with him. Aaron Stewart not calling back in 9 minutes and 57 seconds opened up the door for AJ Fernandez to capitalize.
That's a great
AJ
trip.
Congratulations. Only two people have qualified so far. The odds are in your favor.
Oh my goodness.
7:20 a.m. every morning this week and next week, and then that's it. We're going to announce the winner, I believe, on December 14th or right around that time, maybe the Monday the 17th. But the reality of this is I think we're only announcing six more times. Six more. If you want to have a chance to hear your name called, go to the website, 957thegame.com, enter the contest so you have a chance to qualify. Jim Barnett in 5 minutes. So let's get into this LeBron thing. Another big night last night as the Lakers win. Don't really know who they played because the
highlights. They played the Spurs, and they were down. I watched the
LeBron
game.
I don't need the full take. I just needed the Spurs, which is nice. Very helpful. Thank you.
We missed 2 days of LeBron talk. So
all I was telling you.
Get ready to team up for LeBron talk.
I wasn't even. You asked. You didn't even know who they played. I told you the Spurs, and LeBron went nuclear in the fourth.
LeBron James.
Nuclear, huh? It's
a real what do you have? What do you have, 80?
No, he scored like 20-something in the fourth quarter.
He's trash.
He scored 37 in a quarter.
That's like one of those gas lamps you get outdoor at a restaurant. It wasn't nuclear.
It's a tiki torch.
Yeah, it was a nice warming feeling while you had your appetizer.
A mosquito zapper.
Magic and Kobe said that they want him to calm down, and so he let the team do what they needed to do for three quarters. And he goes, you know what? It's my time. Yeah. And it was just amazing to watch the guy just take over the game as he does. And it was just, it was a treat to watch. If you got a chance to see it, it was actually.
It was like a thin Afghan blanket just draped partly over your legs. Wasn't
really,
nuclear.
Daniel?
Yeah, really.
Thin Afghan blanket.
Yeah, you're still cold. Your feet are warm, but you're still overall a little bit chilly. Somebody shut the window. It is cold in here.
Rick Bucher from Bleacher Report has a story that dropped yesterday. It's entitled the following. Why doesn't anyone want to play with LeBron anymore? Subtitle, when the King moved to L.A., everyone assumed stars would follow. But according to some of those players, the challenge of playing in the shadow of a legend and the scrutiny that surrounds him may not hold the appeal we all thought it would. Kevin Durant is quoted in this story, asked about playing with LeBron James. He said the following, quote, "So much hype comes from being around LeBron from other people. He has so many fanboys in the media, even the beat writers just fawn over him. I'm like, we're playing basketball here, and it's not even about basketball at certain points. So I get why anyone wouldn't want to be in that environment because it's toxic, especially when the attention is expletive attention. Fluff. It's not LeBron's fault at all. It's just the fact you have so many groupies in the media that love to hang on every word. Just get out of the way and let us play basketball." LeBron, after last night's nuclear fourth quarter against the Spurs, was asked about these comments and had this to say.
LeBron's Kevin Durant said that the media attention around him creates an environment that is toxic. Did you see those comments?
I did not. I believe that's probably not the whole quote, so I'm not going to comment on that. I would love to see the whole transcript of what was asked of him, the context that was asked of him, why it was asked, and the whole thing. So I'm not going to comment on it because I'm not knowledge. I don't know the whole thing. That would be stupid on my part. I'm a veteran.
Interesting comments. As the resident LeBron expert here on the program, it's great to have you back from your sickness when this story drops. Your thoughts, is it toxic being in the environment surrounded by LeBron James? We saw what happened to Kyrie Irving and Chris Bosh. Is that why certain superstars like Paul George don't want to play with LeBron James?
Well, Paul George is from a small town. Everyone thinks he's from L.A. He's not. He's outside of L.A., a very small community.
Shout out Palmdale.
Exactly. So everyone thought that, no, he's not L.A. The guy... Then he went to Fresno, another small town. So Oklahoma doesn't surprise me. No, he'll get some superstars and want to play with them. The guy's a winner. All he does is win. And it's not toxic. And he
toxic.
Said, when he listens,
yeah,
he goes,
it's toxic,
hey,
not toxic.
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 And you heard
it's
him.
Actually,
goes,
two O's.
Yeah, but what did LeBron say? I'm a veteran. I'm not going to fall for that. I'm going to listen to the whole transcript. And him and KD have a great relationship. After I listened to it again, KD's just saying that the media makes it toxic. And he's saying that LeBron's a great guy. These two, you know, they're great friends. But even though KD probably won't go play with LeBron, it's just interesting to hear how people view this guy, because I think that KD's more of a lightning rod and could be more of a toxic type.
Toxic.
Yeah.
Toxic,
I mean, when you think about all the things surrounding him, is he going to stay or is he going to go? What has everyone been talking about? I mean, here's a guy that you hear it read his lips and he says, that's why I'm out of here.
Maybe he said, that's why I'm out here. That's why I'm out here,
okay,
so I can get
fine.
The ball and go score the game winner.
Well, maybe so.
I'm just saying that some people, I'm on your side.
I'm not,
I had this big debate with somebody a couple weeks ago, somebody saying, he says, that's why I'm out here. I'm out here to get the ball and score in those situations.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it either, Joe.
No, we jumped right to the wild speculation. We didn't actually think there could be a different angle.
Instead
there.
Of
Who
that's why about? We're talking about KD. I was talking to some random rummy at the bar I occasionally go to.
Let's get that guy in here.
Wow, that was a little hurtful.
Well, I mean, one of the more interesting takes I've heard.
And it could be only
some
KD
random
knows.
Rummy, by the way, that's what you call this
guy.
I
don't want to say his name because.
So you take a shot at him?
Of course, a nameless shot at one of the many rummies I hang with.
And toxic.
I am toxic.
I don't think LeBron
See
has
it.
Ever showed
Poor
a guy.
Liver.
You're just
going to
get run out at bar later
yeah,
today.
You are.
Yeah, I'm a big deal after my Channel 2 appearance.
I don't think LeBron's really ever showed anyone up. And I think that KD.
J.R. Smith is on the phone.
Yeah, what did he do?
You tell me he didn't show up, J.R. Smith?
Everyone just looked and said, where were you going? The liquor store's the other way. I mean, but you saw what KD did. Pound his chest on our boy Draymond. I should have got and pounded his chest, and he showed him up.
He did show him up, much like LeBron did in the NBA Finals just a few months earlier when he showed up. JR,
we can jump back into it.
Okay,
we can jump back into it. We have plenty of show left, but for right now, we got to get legal. You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. Good morning, and welcome to your 8 o'clock hour. Greg Papa will join us in 30 minutes, but for right now. Jim Barnett is brought to you by Mid-Bay Ford. Visit them at 550 Auto Center Drive in Watsonville or online at midbayford.com. Former Warrior, now Warrior analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area, 95.7 The Game. Family member Jim Barnett with us here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Jim? How's the road trip treating you?
Well, got off to a pretty rough start. losing the first two games, Toronto, Detroit, but now they've won the last two, and this is a big game coming up tomorrow night with Milwaukee, a huge game, just because Milwaukee's one of the real surprise teams this year. They've gotten so much better, and they have a terrific record at home. So the Warriors hope to end this trip on a win and come back 3-2. But if you recall, just about a month, they were tanked by this Milwaukee Bucks team at Oracle Arena. So it's going to be a tough game. Should be a great game.
If I'm not mistaken, the Bucks got him last year at Oracle too, so they probably think that they've got Golden State's number. But you look at Steph Curry last night, and it sure looks like he's getting back to the old midseason form. Are you seeing Steph now back fully gym at 100%?
I don't think he's in great shape fully.